Thanks for being with us on The Marketplace. We are less than a week after the end of the NBL 24 season. What an incredible end it was as well. But as we tell you here on The Marketplace, there are things happening all the time. And in the last 12 hours, it's been very, very productive for the New Zealand Breakers. I'm Jack Heverin. Olgun Ulich is, of course, the best newsbreaker in Australian basketball. And Olgun, Breakers fans are hanging on your every word right now.
Yeah, Jack, the New Zealand Breakers have re-signed Parker Jackson Cartwright. He was their star import of NBL 24, led that team in scoring and assists, finished top three in MVP, all NBL first team. So he was one of the best players in the competition last season. He's returning on a one-year deal. That gives Modi Mayor and that Breakers team a focal point going into free agency. He is their guy, the focus, and they get to now build around him.
This is massive for a lot of reasons. And as you rightly pointed out, his season here in the NBL was phenomenal. But I think for Breakers fans, they would have been pretty concerned because he signed a contract almost as quickly as the season ended. And the thought was there that perhaps that would be the last of him and that he would go overseas. But things have obviously changed.
Even when he signed that contract, the word that I was getting was that a return to New Zealand wasn't off the cards. And so that was a 1.5 year deal with Galatasaray. He only played one game with that team before parting ways with them, but the door was always open for a return. Now, I don't think Modi Mayor thought that Parker Jackson Cartwright was definitely going to come back, but they developed a really good relationship. Jackson Cartwright really liked the league and really liked the team that he was a part of. And now this gives him an opportunity to run it back. And it gives New Zealand a really good head start going to free agency, knowing that they've locked in not just one of their imports, but an import that you know the production that you're going to get from him.
Yeah, that's a really good point because we go back to 12 months ago and there was a lot of uncertainty about their three imports. In the end, they were unable to retain any of Barry Brown Jr., Jarrell Brantley, or also Derek Pardon. In some respects, it does kind of feel like they're one step ahead here.
Yeah, and we have to remember, Jackson Cartwright was an MVP candidate. He finished top three in MVP voting. He was all NBL first team. And so this is someone who, you speak about last season, they couldn't keep Barry Brown Jr. and Jarrell Brantley and Derek Pardon. They wanted to keep all those guys and there was some mutual interest, but leagues around the world were able to snatch them away. That didn't happen this time. That was, it was a pretty quick negotiation for Jackson Cartwright to come back. And this is something that there are other factors here that the Breakers have to consider going into free agency, but this was one that they felt they couldn't turn down.
Well, let's talk about one of those factors, and that is Will McDowell-White. We said this on the setup episode last week, that his name is going to feature a lot. Does the signing of Parker Jackson Cartwright affect Will's decision-making for positive or for negative?
Not from what I understand. What I've been told is that as of now, the Breakers have received no indication one way or another whether McDowell-White will pick up that player option for NBL 25, and so they're still waiting. There's also an indication that I got that the signing of Jackson Cartwright won't impact their feelings toward McDowell-White, and I don't think impacts McDowell-White's feelings toward the Breakers. Everything that I've heard is that McDowell-White really enjoyed playing with Parker Jackson Cartwright and is not against doing that again. And for the Breakers, they like the pairing of those two. They felt as though they made a lot of progress as the season went on. And so this doesn't shut the door for McDowell-White. It doesn't open it anymore. I think these are almost two different things that can happen in isolation.
So on one hand, we've got Parker Jackson Cartwright walking back through the door to play with the Breakers next season. On the other hand, though, we've got a departure.
Yeah, I'm told that Isaiah Liafa has informed the Breakers that he won't be returning. And so he is someone who is a Kiwi, was with that team for two seasons. He'll explore his options on the free agent market. And so he's someone who a lot of teams around the league see as a really impressive 3-and-D guy, shoots it at a high level, defends on the perimeter at a high level. So he'll test his value on the free agent market.
There were times this season, Olgun, where Isaiah Liafa was in heavy rotation. And then there were times that it felt like he was almost out of the rotation. How desirable will he be to other teams in this league?
Someone like Isaiah Liafa has a lot of value. When you have someone who you know that at the end of a playoff game, you can have him on the floor because of his ability to defend, his point of attack defense is among the best in the league, and then his ability to knock down shots as well. So he is your prototypical plug and play guy around the league. A lot of teams around the NBL see him as someone who they can bring in right away and plug him into different spots, and he can be effective in a bunch of different ways.
Lastly, on the Breakers, because their fans will hunt me down if I don't ask this question. Is there any word on Anthony Lamb?
Not that I've heard. The recovery from that Achilles injury will likely stretch in to at least the middle of the NBL season. As much as the science on the recovery of those things is getting a lot better, that is a really tough thing for a team to commit to. So that's what I'll say on that. It's tough to commit to someone who will more than likely miss half the season, especially when we saw this past season, over the past few seasons, how close this thing gets. It comes down to a game or two, and going into a season knowing that you might not have your import for a significant stretch of games, it's a really tough thing for a team to do. So I wouldn't say that it's completely off the table, but I'd say it's unlikely at this point.
Let's talk Angus Glover. Reggie reporting in the last couple of days at ESPN.com.au, and of course you can check all of Olgan's good work out on Twitter as well. So Southeast Melbourne and Sydney working together to create a situation where Angus Glover can get to the Phoenix. On this show, we try and take fans, I guess, sort of into the boardrooms a little bit and into some of these conversations and how it all works. What needs to happen here for Angus Glover to be playing in the Heartland next season?
Basically, the Sydney Kings and the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix need to sit down and have a discussion on what a buyout fee would look like. Now, we've seen this a few times this offseason. We hadn't seen it before this offseason, but we saw Sam Menenga move from the Cairns Taipans to the New Zealand Breakers. The Breakers paid a buyout fee for Menenga. We saw Nathan Sobey move from Brisbane Bullets to the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix, and the Phoenix had to pay a buyout fee to the Bullets for Sobey services, and it'll be a similar situation here. At the end of NBL 24, Angus Glover expressed his desire to move on and get off his contract. The Sydney Kings, just like any other team would, didn't want to just get off the contract. They wanted to, they're a team that wanted to sort of opt into the contract and play it out. And so if a player wants to get out of it, they would like a buyout of some sort as remuneration to get off it. And so basically it's just finding that team. The Phoenix is a team that is interested in Glover. Glover is interested in them. And so I think the Kings will use some of those buyouts that we've seen this offseason as sort of a guide of how much that's going to be. It's not going to be an obscene amount of money, but the Phoenix will give something up in order to take Glover off Sydney's hands.
So to cut through it all, basically they agree on a number. The money exchange is via EFT or check or carrier pigeon or however you choose to do it. And then once that's done, Angus Glover is free to sign with Southeast Melbourne when everything opens.
That's correct. The effective way to look at this is it's a trade. A team is trading a player in exchange for cash considerations. That is how it worked with Sam Menenga. He got traded to New Zealand Breakers, and the Breakers traded cash considerations. Same thing happened with Sobey and the Phoenix, and the same thing will happen here with Angus Glover and the Phoenix. It is going to be effectively a trade between the Sydney Kings and the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix. Angus Glover traded for cash considerations.
These conversations that we're having here, Olgan, we weren't having 12 months ago. They just weren't happening, and therefore the clubs weren't having these conversations. Do you kind of feel as though free agency and the nature of how it operates is starting to change a bit here?
Yeah. On one hand, it's happening a lot quicker. These conversations are happening a lot earlier in the piece than I've previously seen. And then it's just about agents being proactive and innovative as far as putting their clients in situations that best benefit them. And so all of these situations ultimately benefit all parties. This is the most realistic way of how trades can work in the NBL, where every single party agrees to it, and it's just the movement of one player instead of two. Moving two players is a really difficult thing for any team to try to work out, right? Moving one player makes a lot of sense because all it is just one player going to a situation that he feels is better for him, and the other team giving up some cash to make that happen. This is something that I think we've already seen three times, and I think we see more and more of in the future.
I think it's going to be a very, very spicy free agency period. Of course, it all opens on Monday, the 15th of April at 9 a.m. All team, player, and mutual options need to be confirmed by Thursday, April the 11th at midday Australian Eastern Standard Time. And then once options are taken or declined, a full free agents list will be made public on Friday, April the 12th. It is all about to get very, very busy and very, very interesting. Olgan, great work by you as always, and thanks for joining us on The Marketplace.
Thank you. April 15th can't come soon enough.
It cannot. We're going to have a lot to talk about when it lands. And of course, The Marketplace is where you need to be during this free agency period. As soon as everything happens, we'll have you updated on this show. And of course, opinion and analysis from Pete Hooley and Derek Rucker all the way through. Thanks for being with us. We'll catch you next time.